it seems like it's been a long time with all the interruptions with weather and whatnot. But it's wonderful to be here and worship with you tonight. As you can tell, my voice isn't quite right. And so if it starts to do strange things, I apologize in advance. Hopefully it won't be that, or my coughing won't be too much of a distraction. But why don't you all turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's take a moment and ask the Lord to bless His Word tonight. Father, thank You that we can rise like Your Son. Thank You for that great reminder, Lord, that because of His resurrection, Lord, we too have life. Lord, thank You for all that You've done for us. Thank You, Lord, that our lives are changed, our perspectives are different. Thank You, Lord, that our eternity, our destiny has changed. All because of what Your Son did for us. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege to worship You for that great gift. And now as we turn to Your Word and spend a little bit of time looking some more at the wonderful effects of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on our life, Lord, I pray that You would minister to each one of us. That You would open our ears, open our eyes, Lord. That we would hear from You tonight, Holy Spirit, our teacher. And I pray, Lord, that there'd be nothing in the way. Father, I pray that Your perfect work would be done in each one of us through Your Word tonight. And we ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, guys, there are, really, if you think about it, there are relatively few things in life that ultimately matter. I mean, I suppose there's the sense in which everything matters because God is sovereign, right? And Jesus is redeeming all of life. But there are also all sorts of things. I know you know this. I'm sure you've seen it in your own life that feel important to you at the time. But you pretty much just kind of forget about them as soon as they've gone by. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right? You know, one of the things that always comes to my mind in that regard is sporting events. You know, if you are really into sports, I know none of you here are. But if any of you might be really into sports and you're really emotionally attached to your team, when you're in the middle of a game, boy, does it not seem like the whole world rides on it? Wives, if you have a husband like this, you know it sounds like the whole world is riding on it in the middle of the game, right? Afterwards, though, whether it's a victory for your team or a defeat for your team, those things pretty much just go by the wayside. I mean, you know, for some it might take a couple weeks, you know, to get over it. But you know what, right? I mean, even those emotions that you had so strongly, where are they a month later, 2 months later, a year later? How about when you're driving down the road in traffic and the moron pulls out in front of you, right? And you're furious, you're angry, you're upset, and it seems like the end of the world. How many of you are still grousing about the person that cut you off 2 months ago? Oh, those things just kind of go away. They're forgotten. And since I particularly really struggle, at least my wife says I do, with not always rightly discerning between what really matters and what is a minor, insignificant thing, I find that I often have to remind myself, I have to get some perspective from outside of myself. Do you ever realize your need for that kind of perspective? And for me, that bit of perspective comes in a small bit of truth that was given to me by my youth pastor. So this was a long, long, long time ago. And I've never forgotten about it. And every once in a while, it is a truth that I have to remind myself of. And what he told me was this. If whatever I am going through won't matter 1,000 years into eternity, then I really don't need to spend my time worrying about it now. Now that's perspective, isn't it? Right? That's what that's doing. It's bringing perspective to whatever the situation is that you're going through. Now, sometimes something really big has to happen for us to get perspective, right? You know, something catastrophic has to happen for us to realize that the smaller things really just don't matter. And I think about the college student who wrote a letter to her parents, and it said, "Dear Mom and Dad, just wanted to let you know that I dropped out of school last week. I met these really neat people who asked me to drive cross country with them and join a commune. So I emptied out all of the funds from the college savings account that you'd set up for me, and I bought a camper instead. And I sold all my clothing, and I shaved my head, and I bought a robe. And we arrive at the commune tomorrow, where I plan on donating the camper and all of the rest of the money that's in the savings account to the group leader. They call him Father Sunshine, and he seems like a really, really great guy. Oh, and by the way, Mom and Dad, nothing that I just wrote you in this letter is true. I'm still in college, the money is still in the savings account, and I still have all of my hair. However, I did get a D in chemistry this semester. I hope you won't be too upset. Love, your daughter." It's all about perspective, isn't it? Well, guys, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of those monumental things that puts everything else in perspective. As a matter of fact, I'd say it is the one big thing that puts everything else in perspective. We open this service this evening by reading the account of the resurrection from the Gospel of John. And I suspect it was not the first time you've ever heard those words. I suspect most of us here tonight are fairly familiar with most of the events surrounding the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But guys, one of the biggest truths of Easter is the fact that Christ's resurrection affects everything else in life. Everything else. And this Easter, what I want to do is I really want to cement that specific truth in all of our hearts and minds. And that truth is this. Welcome to write it down if you're so inclined. If you have the outline that was on the table, you can see it there. But basically, this is what I want to kind of hone in on this evening. If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. Think about it. I mean, that's what we celebrate at Easter. Doesn't that highlight the importance of the resurrection? Doesn't that bring much needed perspective to our lives? If Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. And I'd like us to see the reality of that statement biblically this evening by looking at several key areas that are particularly affected by Christ's resurrection. We'll start by looking at three things that Scripture says do not matter if Christ is not risen from the dead. And then we'll look at three things that Scripture says does not matter because Christ is risen from the dead. So, what would no longer matter if Christ were not risen? Well, first of all, your faith would not matter. Your faith would not matter. In fact, the Bible says that if Christ is not risen, then your faith is what? in vain. That's right. 1 Corinthians 15, you can see it right there. Paul is writing about the resurrection, and look what he says in verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. And then in verse 17, Paul says the same thing again, but he uses a little bit stronger language. He says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Now, Paul was the first to admit this perspective-changing truth in Scripture. He's the first one to point it out here. If Christ has not been raised, Paul's saying, you know what? All of my preaching, all of my words, all my letters, worthless. Completely worthless. And so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, you are still dead in your sins. You see, guys, Christ's resurrection isn't just an event that we remember once a year. Christ's resurrection from the dead was the proof. It was the proof that Jesus died for our sins and that He paid the full price. That's what it is. And His resurrection demonstrated that He was, in fact, the sinless Son of God who came from heaven. When God raised Jesus from the dead, you know what He was doing? He was putting His stamp of approval on Jesus as His Son and on the Christ's work of salvation for you and for me that He did on the cross. But guys, if Jesus was not raised, if He did not rise from the dead, then His death on the cross was meaningless. If He didn't rise from the dead, you know what that means? It means He didn't really die for your sins on the cross. You know whose sins He died for? His own. That's right. But because Jesus was sinless, because He was God the Son, death, as we just got done singing, could not hold Him. It could not keep Him in the grave. That's what the Christian faith, guys, is all about. That's what we've been worshiping the Lord for this evening. Christ rose from the dead victorious over sin and over death. And so, if Christ is not risen, then your faith, my faith, no matter how wonderful it might be, is vain. We can just close the doors and go home right now. We can go grab dinner at Chili's or something. Because that's about all that it's worth at that point. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, it doesn't really matter. But there's another thing that wouldn't matter. And that is your hope for the future. If Christ is not risen, then your hope is hopeless. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again with me at verse 18. If Christ has not been raised, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. You see, guys, and this is so important because there's so much of the church nowadays that doesn't even believe this anymore. But Christian hope isn't merely that God will give you a better life now. It's not that God will give you a better life in this life. That's not its point. The Christian hope is the hope of resurrection from the dead. The Christian hope is that there is life beyond the grave. That death does not have the final word anymore. The Christian hope that our loved ones who died in Christ because they belonged to Him, that we will see them again. That's hope. I mean, what child who has ever lost their parents doesn't long to see them again? What parent who's ever lost their child doesn't long to see their child again? You see, our hope as Christians is that we will live forever with God and we will live forever with His Son, Jesus Christ, along with our loved ones who've fallen asleep in Him. But Paul says, if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, then your hope in that regard is hopeless. It's useless. It's all a huge, massive deception, guys. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, your loved ones who've fallen asleep in Christ, they're lost. They've perished, Paul says. They've died in their sins, and there's no hope for them. As Paul makes very painfully clear there, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are, of all men, meaning of every person on this planet, to be most pitied. You know, I've heard Christians say, and I understand where they're coming from, but when they're talking with someone, maybe hoping to lead them to the Lord, evangelize them, sometimes the comment is made, you know what, if what I believe is wrong, and when we all die, we all just go in the ground and that's the end of it, I've lost nothing. Everything's wonderful. I still had a great life and I lived a good life and things are fine. But you know what? If what I believe is true and you don't believe it, then things are going to go very badly for you on that day. You probably heard reasoning to that effect. And I certainly understand where they're coming from with that. But you know what? I think the Apostle Paul might have had a problem with that. Because the Apostle Paul says that if Jesus is not risen from the dead, if there is no resurrection from the dead, our faith and all of the trappings of it that we may be involved in this life only affords us the most pity. If Jesus isn't raised, it doesn't matter. It's worthless. If He is not risen from the dead, your hope does not matter. A third thing that would not matter is your life itself. Your life itself. If Christ is not risen, then your life lacks meaning and it lacks purpose. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. Paul writes there in verse 30. And as for us, why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought with wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, I suspect most of you are aware of this, but I thought I'd at least mention it. When Paul says here that he's fought wild beasts, he's speaking metaphorically. I mean, he wasn't a lion tamer or anything like that. When he didn't fight literal wild beasts in Ephesus. He faced intense persecution there to the point of death. Paul made many sacrifices for the faith. He took risks, didn't he? He experienced all sorts of things. He was put in prison for his faith. He was flogged and beaten for his faith. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He experienced hunger. He experienced sleeplessness. Guys, why did Paul go through all of that? Because Jesus was risen from the dead. That's why. He had a message to share, and the sacrifices were worth it to him because the message was true, you see. And as believers in Jesus Christ, you and I are also called to make sacrifices. Did you know that? You know, it's not just a few guys in the Bible that we can go, oh, well, those are the ones God asked to sacrifice. No, it's all of us. We're to choose to reject the short-term pleasures of sin in order to please God. We give sacrificially of ourselves and our money and our efforts to God's kingdom. And then when we stand up for Jesus Christ and we are a bold witness, then we also face persecution for our faith. Paul said that very clearly in 1 Timothy 3:12. He said, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If Christ is risen, guys, wouldn't you agree that there is no sacrifice that we can make for Him that is too great? Right? Then I have a question for myself. And I have a question for you. Why is it that there's so little sacrifice happening in the Church of Jesus Christ today? Why am I so unwilling to leap out and sacrifice and take risks and do the things that God has called all of us to do if I genuinely believe that Jesus was risen from the dead? But guys, if Christ is not risen, then you tell me, what's the purpose of it all? What's the point of every sacrifice and exploit and you know, serving in the nursery or I don't whatever you know, consider, you know, I don't know if Paul would consider nursery work. Well, no, he might consider that a sacrifice. But yeah, you see what I'm saying? Any of those things that we do in service to the Lord, in giving up of ourselves, what's the point of any of that if Jesus is not risen? Why does it matter? If you make all of these sacrifices merely for human reasons, Paul says, what have you gained? Nothing. And that's why Paul says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. Paul says, let's go party, man. If Jesus is not risen from the dead, then just grab whatever you can get now, because that's all that you get. See, if Christ is not risen, then nothing really matters anymore, does it? Your faith is vain. Your hope is hopeless. Your life lacks purpose and meaning. If Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. But guys, there's a second part to the truth that we're looking at tonight. If Christ is risen from the dead, then guess what? Nothing else matters. That's how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is. Is there anything else in your life that you could truthfully say that about? Because this is true in my life, nothing else even matters. Because I have this, because I've gone here, because I've done this, nothing else even matters. No, of course not. That's ludicrous. But guys, we can make that statement about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If He is risen, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters in comparison. And tonight I also want us to see three things that do not matter anymore if Christ is risen from the dead. And the first is this. If Christ is risen, material gain does not matter. Life is no longer about possessions and accumulating more and more things. It's not about your comfort zone and making life easy and cushy. Life is no longer about worrying and stressing over material circumstances. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. I want you to see these words along with me, these very familiar words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount, starting at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, guys, because Jesus has risen from the dead, all the rules have changed. All the rules have changed. It's no longer he who dies with the most toys wins, right? So if you don't have a lot of material things in this life, that's okay. Be encouraged. I love what James says about it. James chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him?" That's God's perspective on the issue. He says, blessed are the poor. Be encouraged. There is more to life than this life. In fact, Jesus says that we're to spend this life storing up treasure where? In heaven. Not on earth. What do we usually do, though? We spend this time on earth storing up treasure on earth. And we spend all of our time frustrated about it, upset about it, worrying about it, being greedy and grabbing after it, whatever you know it may be. It becomes that thing that possesses our life. But Jesus says, don't do any of that. You're going to rise from the dead. And all that you store up in heaven, that's yours, man, and no one's touching it. So, how do you do that? How do you store up treasure in heaven? Well, there's the very practical part of that, of course. And we do so by serving the Lord and serving others. It's real simple. Jesus says in Matthew 10:42, if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. So that's one way of looking. How do you store up treasure in heaven? You love and you serve God. You love and you serve your family. And you love and you serve other people. That's what our life is supposed to be about, because Jesus has risen from the dead. That's how we're to store up treasure in heaven. You see, you serve God and others by meeting their physical, temporal needs. But that's not all, is there? I mean, if that's all we ever did and they still went to hell, then again, you could ask the question, what's the point, right? So we meet their needs, but then we also share with them that life-altering truth of Christ's resurrection. And we should be doing that, guys, with every single person that we meet. If Jesus is risen from the dead, then the most natural thing in the world for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ would be to share that truth, would it not? If we really believed it. You see, these are the changes in perspective we need. These are the things we need to remember. Getting our eyes off ourselves, off our stuff, off our needs, me, 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 and seeing things instead as God does. The God who says, blessed are the poor. The God who says, go out and make disciples. That's what we should be doing. Living out our Christian faith is so much more important than the new television, the new car, the bigger house, even having all our bills paid. Living our life for the Lord is far more important. If Christ is risen, then material gain does not matter. But secondly, if Christ is risen, then your trials do not compare to eternity. If Christ is risen, then the trials that we go through here on earth do not matter. Why don't you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to hear what Paul writes about this, this subject there beginning at verse 8. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, Paul says, we, and he's referring to the body of Christ, those who are following after the Lord, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Now guys, why can Paul make bold statements like that, right? I mean, that's pretty bold. Don't you wish you could say those things, right? I mean, basically, whatever comes my way, I'm going to get through it. The Lord's going to be with me. Why can Paul make statements like that? Well, look at verse 14, would you? Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. And does that truth of the resurrection Paul's talking about, did it have an effect on Paul? Was it just a piece of theology bouncing around in his head? Or did it have an effect on Paul? It did. Look at verse 16. Therefore, in other words, because this is true, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, anyone's outer man decaying here? Yes, okay, so we're all in this. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Guys, is there a more monumental, desperately needed perspective shift in all the Bible than what Paul states right there? I mean, we all go through hard times in life, right? Anyone here excluded from that? No, absolutely not. And if this life is all that there is, then we would have absolutely every reason to feel cheated, to be discouraged, to be disheartened, to be depressed. Absolutely. Now, I know some of you are going through some really hard trials right now. And that, you know, that is huge in your life. Some of you, you have loved ones who are really going through it right now, and you're suffering with them. But God wants to remind you, and He wants to remind me, that our trials here in this place do not compare to eternity. They don't even compare. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will also raise you, and He will usher you into His presence forever. We were just praising Him for that just a few moments ago in worship. Guys, that is looking at life not by what you see with your eyes, but by what you don't see. That's looking through the eyes of faith. That is living your life by that which is eternal rather than merely temporal. I know of what I speak here, guys, because the moment that I set my eyes on the temporal, the moment that I forget about the truths that we've seen in Scripture here tonight, you know what happens to me? Instantly, almost. I lose heart. How about you? I think that's true for all of us. The second we take our eyes off of those things which are eternal, we lose heart. We despair. We become discouraged. But when we set our eyes on the truth of Christ's resurrection, that which is eternal, then we don't lose heart. We don't become discouraged. Why? Again, because of a piece of theology? No. Because Christ is risen. That's why. Yes, the trials we go through, they're real. I'm not minimizing that. And they hurt. But as Paul makes clear here, they are light. And they are momentary compared to the eternal glory that waits for us. And finally, if Christ is risen, then not even death ultimately matters anymore. Listen to Paul's words, guys. This is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And then Paul makes that statement that I think we all know so well. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is what? Is gain. To die is gain. Now guys, understand, Paul was not writing these words from the comfort of his lazy boy, merely imagining what it would be like when things got hard or when he would likely one day face death. Paul was in the thick of the battle when he wrote these words. He was in prison at that moment for his faith, awaiting possible execution. But his main concern was not whether he lived or whether he died. His main concern was whether Christ would be exalted in his life. Guys, that is earth-shattering perspective right there. And when I read stuff like that, I am ashamed that I don't live my life like that. Because it's not just available to Paul. Because Christ is risen, it is available to us all. This is all that mattered to him. Paul's attitude here, it reminds me just a little bit of what a Christian sister said to me one time when she was facing possible death because of a heart attack. That was right in front of her. And I was talking with her about it. And she said, you know what? If I die, I get to see my Lord. And I get to see my parents. And if I live, I get to see my children and my grandkids grow up. Christ is with me, so either way, I win. That's pretty much what Paul's saying. Perspective. Genuine, life-altering perspective. You know, when you get to the point where death doesn't even matter anymore, oh man, you can handle anything life throws at you. Anything. You can do anything for the Lord. When you come to that place where you realize, hey, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's amazing. My question to you this Easter, my question to myself is, can you say that tonight? And really mean it. I mean, I know we can all say the words. But can you say it and mean it? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why? Why? Because if Jesus is risen, then the material gain that 99% of our world spends all its time worrying about doesn't matter anymore. Because if Christ is risen, then your trials, your hardships, the difficulties you're going through here on this earth do not matter. They don't even compare in light of eternity. Because if Jesus is risen, even death, the ultimate leveler in humanity, the ultimate fear of mankind, doesn't even matter anymore. Guys, tonight and tomorrow, we celebrate the greatest of all holidays. By far. But as can often happen, amidst all of the special music and the fancy new clothes and the family get-togethers and the sunrise services and the Easter egg hunts and all of that stuff, sometimes the life-altering, life-changing truths of Easter and its effect on us can be lost. And my point tonight, guys, my hope tonight is that the Holy Spirit can take these things and bring us to a point where we see that this truth of Easter, this truth of the resurrection, is supposed to change our lives. It's not just a theological tidbit that gets you saved. It's supposed to turn your world upside down. That's why Paul says the things he says about it. My hope this evening is that these passages of Scripture that we've looked at will encourage us and motivate us to not lose the powerful reality of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. And that the truths that we'll see here will change the way we live and the way that we think. Guys, if Christ is risen, nothing else matters. And if Christ is not risen, nothing else matters. And it is my great privilege and it is my great responsibility to testify to you this evening. Jesus Christ is risen. That is the good news. That is the good news of Easter. And it is also your great privilege and your great responsibility to testify as well. That is the message that we need to spread far and wide. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. And all God's people responded.
Amen.
Amen. He is risen indeed. That's right. Would you pray with me? Father, how can we come to you and just saying thank you for what you put into effect, the plan you caused to come into effect of your Son dying in our place and rising from the dead so that we might have new life, so that we might be saved, so that we might be changed, so that we might see life differently. Father, just saying thank you seems almost hollow in comparison, but thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being our sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for loving us when we were still your enemies. Thank you for reaching out to us, for pursuing us. And Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for each person here tonight that the truth of Christ's resurrection will impact their life so strongly, so dramatically, that we will be able to say the things that we've read here tonight. That we would be able to, with truth in our heart, be able to say, to live as Christ and to die as gain. That we are not perplexed, we're not downtrodden because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That the material goods of this world mean nothing to us. That our trials that are weighing us down, we still see them as light and momentary. Lord, let our life be changed by the wonderful truth of your resurrection. Father, if there is anyone here tonight who perhaps they've never accepted you as their Savior, they have never taken that step of surrendering their life to the one who died in their place so that their sins might be covered and so that they might stand before a holy God, righteous in the righteousness of Jesus, and have relationship with Him. If there are any here tonight who are still laboring under the burden of their sin, the weight of their sin, Lord, I pray that you would minister to their hearts right now. I pray that the weight of the resurrection of Christ, the reality of it, the truth of it, would so impact them that they would bow their knees before you and confess that Jesus is Lord. That they would believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead and know that they are saved. Know that they have eternity waiting for them. Holy Spirit, I ask that you do your work in each person's heart here. Whether it's those who belong to you that need their perspective shifted and changed in light of your resurrection, or those who do not even know you. Holy Spirit, do your work tonight. Father, thank you again. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the blood of your Son. Thank you that the grave could not hold him. Thank you that we have new life because of him. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand with me, please?